Amen. This reminds me of the scripture that they brought so much treasure that they had to tell them to stop. We want to welcome everyone to the Christian Family Conference. My name is Frank Lipsey. I know many of you are new here. So I look around, I see with a lot of new people. I know looking at the registration forms, there were a lot of new people. So you people don't know me from anyone else. But those of you who have been coming here a while are asking, what is he doing here? I didn't even know he was in Richmond. So people ask me often, they say, are you in the Richmond Fellowship? And my answer is, well, whenever I'm in Richmond, I am. And I hope we all are as we're here today, tonight. Again, if you're wondering why I'm here, instead of some of the others you've seen, you older people, it's because they asked me what I was willing to do, and I said, anything you want. And they said, well, okay, do this. I want to share a little bit about the conference tonight. And we'll try not to be too long. I'm going to read one scripture, if you will look with me, into the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 52. And seeking the Lord as to what to say for this time of opening the conference, this may sound a little strange to you, but I'll try to explain. In verse 52 of chapter 13, and he said to them, for this reason every scribe disciple to the kingdom of the heavens is like a man that is a householder, who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now this is given by the Lord Jesus after he finished speaking the parables known to many as the mysteries of the kingdom, and says, he who knows the mysteries of the kingdom, any scribe who is instructed or disciple in the mysteries of the kingdom is like a householder that brings out of his treasure house things new and old. Now, we will, as we come to this conference, realize that we have, those who have been many times, received much revelation during this time from our Lord. Just as Israel at the time of our Lord Jesus had received much from their Lord. But our Lord Jesus came and gave these teachings, these parables of the kingdom, and he brought in, as it were, a new dimension, a more fullness, an explanation of all that was going on before. And every revelation of the Lord is like that, when it's new and yet it's founded firmly upon what is already given. You know, you might think sometimes that if you just knew all the words of the Bible and you could quote it, there was nothing more to learn. But of course that's not true, because the revelation that's there continues. We continue to learn, continue to have things revealed. And yet, it's not a revelation that's new and different. It's a revelation that is advanced beyond what we've been given. And then as we come to this time, we want to remember that principle of the revelation that we will receive and that which we have received. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of testimony about this conference, especially for those of you who may be here the first time, but for those of you who have been here 27 times, it wouldn't hurt to do just a little bit of review of how we got to where we are. And I will mention that this is the 27th Christian Family Conference. Now, I could always remember it this way, and I'll explain. The first one was in 1975. It's easy for me to remember. I'll tell you why in a minute. But you know, 1975 was the first. And if you subtract 1974 from 75, you get one. So if you subtract 1974 from 2001, you get 27. Now that's the easy way to do it. This is number 27. And it's also quite easy for me to remember exactly what year it was, because the first year we went to a conference, we had a baby less than 1 year old. So I just keep up with my children and I know when the conference was. I'm sure many of you have life experiences that are very much related to the conference. There are a lot of people here who have been to 27 conferences, the Christian family conferences. In fact, there are numbers of people here who have been to lots of conferences before that and have been to 27 conferences, of Christian family conferences in Richmond. I know a lot of you weren't born in 1975, but you've joined in on this path that we are on. And it's every much your path as much as the rest of us. Now, our first child was less than 1 year old when we first attended. And tonight she's here with her own husband, two children of her own. We grow together in this time. Now, actually, there were two conferences in Richmond that put together by the Lord through the Richmond Assembly before 1975. I should just mention those. Those are not called family conferences because they were not open to the entire family. They were basically adult conferences. But from 1975 on, this has been a family conference. And that, by that, you know, people always ask you, does that mean you study about the family? No, it means it's open to the entire family. We have something for all. The Lord has something for all at this time. But I want to mention these other two because of my own personal experience. And everyone has their own story. I'll try to just give you a quick outline of mine and how I got to here. The first one in 1973, and I don't know the exact date of it, but I know it's just about the exact, right at the time that my wife and I were married. So this conference and our marriage is same age. I didn't know anything about that conference in 1973. I didn't know those people. At the time, we were living and meeting together with a few of the Lord's people in what I would describe as charismatic meeting, house church. And the people that we were with also had one other characteristic interest. They were very much readers of Watchman Nee. But in 1974, we heard about this assembly in Richmond and visited it. And we found that there were people around living on the earth that we could come in contact with that actually knew Watchman Nee. So naturally, we were drawn to that. But we heard of the 1974 conference. We were reluctant to go to it for a couple of reasons. One, we were very strict about what's in the Bible and trying to follow the New Testament pattern right down the line. You know, we don't veer off. We look in the Bible, we don't see anything about conferences in there. So what's this conference thing? And the people, they said they believed in the Holy Spirit, but we thought, well, I'm not quite so sure about them. We did sense the presence of the Lord. There was a tugging to continue on. But in any case, we didn't go to that conference in 1974. But you know, soon thereafter, somebody loaned us a set of tapes from that. And we listened to that. And the tapes that year were some person we'd never heard of. His name Lance Lambert. And He spoke on God wants a house. And what he spoke in those just ministered so much, because it didn't tell us something different from what the Lord was showing us, what the Lord was leading us in. In fact, it amplified, it built and explained some of the things that we were led into. It just answered so much. And we said, if they ever have another conference, I think we'll go to it. Well, we have ever since. You know, that was 1975 when we first went into this. And you know, I struggle somewhat with this. Is it scriptural? Is it? You know, the Bible doesn't prescribe this particular form of doing things. We found it to be rather just a living expression of the Lord, not something to institutionalize, not something to say, write in your book if you're going to really have a right thing, you've got to have conferences. But if the Lord is meeting you in some, then surely this is something to continue on with. And we found year after year, the Lord has spoken in a way we've heard it. I add, though, that this is not undiluted joy and happiness and no problems. I mean, I have found, particularly I'll tell you, a conference to be a very much of a struggle. And if you want to find people you don't agree with, there are plenty of them. They register left and right. You know? And lots of things are problems. But in continuing on through this, every year, the Lord has blessed more and revealed himself more as something new upon something old, and a continued growth through this time. Now, this revelation through the ministry of the Word is perhaps the thing that we see and come for in this conference more than any other single thing, for the Lord to speak. And often others who don't understand this, they say, why do you go to a conference? I mean, you get people coming all over the country, people from other places in the world. This is kind of an obsession, isn't it? Why does everybody have to go to this one place to hear somebody speak? Couldn't you put it on tape and send it around? Wouldn't it be a lot more efficient? It's not just that we get some information by coming to a conference. Let me put it in a worldly expression you probably can understand. When you say, I'm going to go to my favorite ball team, whatever it is, I'm going to watch this game. And they say, well, couldn't you just tape it and send it home to you? Wouldn't that be just as good? Why does everybody have to pack into that one place? Well, of course, that's silly. You know, you want to be there. You want to be with it. But to go to a conference to hear teaching, preaching, I mean, that's not the same thing as going to a ball game. Come on. No, it's not. Do you think if you go to a ball game, you have any influence over the things? People shout like they think they do. Sometimes they talk about in basketball, the sixth man. And I think there's something in principle very much true there. When you come to a conference, when you come to ministry, you don't come as, we're not called to come as some inactive participant sitting there waiting to receive information from someone, if you care to take it. We're called to actually draw out from the ministers that which they're going to speak. Your being there and your presence, my being there, has an effect upon the ministry of the Word. We are part of it. It's not just that there are some people who are gifted and we come to hear them. We come to be a part of it. That's the ministry of the Word. But there's another aspect, the aspect of fellowship with one another, that this conference has been such an enlarging thing. It's led not only to knowing many people from many places, people who are meeting here and there with not knowing one another. Someone asked me, well, what kind of organization do all of these different assemblies, these fellowships, have with one another? I said, what kind of organization do we have between individuals? Do we speak to each other because, well, we're in the same church, so we speak to each other? No, we have a living relationship with one another. And we find out that different assemblies are the same way. We don't have to be, I don't say, well, now I can talk to this brother because now we've gotten under the same umbrella, so we can talk. No, if we're in the Lord, we have a fellowship based on that. The assemblies have a fellowship like that too. And through the coming together in times like this, there's a great enrichment and enlargement the Lord desires, I believe. And I can look over these years and see what growth, what fruit has come out of this. So we have come to, many of us have come to the point of really not saying, Lord, do you want to have a conference again next year? It's more like this. Lord, if you have finished with this conference, tell us so. We don't want to continue in something you're not doing. But until you tell us to stop, now we'll just keep on doing what you told us to do. That's basically where some of us have come to. I'll just put a little two facts about a conference, two things. One is, a conference is not everything. You know, the whole purpose of life is to have a conference. One of the things that bothered me when I came the first time, or even before that, is the people would talk to me, come to the conference, come to the conference, come to the conference, and I think, conference, conference, conference. That's all they talk about. They're not interested in anything about me and drawing us into a real fellowship. They just want me to come to the conference. After you come to the conference, my name, speak to me. You know, the conference itself is not everything. And getting to see how many people we can pack into a conference, that's nothing. We understand the limits of it. But on the other side, don't despise it and think it's nothing. Same conference. We can meet together in our living room. Same thing. In one way it is. But if the Lord is doing something and He calls us to be there, we can't just say on some kind of formality, technicality, it doesn't matter or not. You know, if we're called, if we have a heart and a burden for this, if we're called to it, then it's something the Lord has given us to hold up. If you are one of those, and you're here because of that, then I'm thankful to have you with me. I'm thankful to be with you. If you're someone here that's just checking it out, that's okay. If the Lord calls you into this, all right. If He doesn't, I'm not trying to twist anybody's arms to build up anything. But what is old about this conference and what is new this year? I want to get down to this year. I'm not going to talk about all the various things. Some of you during the week when you fellowship together, either the groups or just at the tables or wherever, you can talk to each other about your own experiences in the conference, what it's meant to you. And remember, it's not the conference itself, it's the Lord in this activity of bringing us together. It's just one of many things He does. Well, let's see, what is old this year? A lot of us people are... in the ministry of the word, we have what I'll want to categorize what's old and new. We have Stephen Kong and Lance Lambert. And I'm going to put Dana Congdon in there, too. They are old. What's new? We have John Ingalls. We have Ed Miller. They're new. Now, these brothers are not new. Believe me, they're not new. They've been around. They're new in that they haven't spoken at this particular conference. And we really welcome them. Look forward to hearing from these brothers this week. Look forward to hearing what the Lord will speak to us through these brethren. Now, besides the speakers, what else is new this year? Well, I want to... especially the fact that I'm standing up here rather than one of the old brothers. I didn't name him off as being old, but they're old. What's old is Kenny Pittman, Jerry Amon, John Blanchett. What's new? Frank Lipsey. They asked for it. What is new, I think, apart from, is the place given and taken by our brethren outside of Richmond. Now, through these 26 family conferences before this year, there are other assemblies outside of Richmond who have always stood with Richmond in carrying out this conference. But I often liken it to having guests come over who would eat dinner, and after you feed them and give them everything, they ask if they could help with the dishes. They didn't come over early and prepare the meals and all of those things. There's a whole lot that goes on to it rather than coming to the meal and eating and then doing the dishes afterwards. Now, I know it's not easy for you to come from far away to a conference. I've traveled to faraway conferences, and I've acted as a host in conferences, and I'll tell you, it is easier to fly around the world to a conference than it is to have people fly to you from around the world. It's more work in staying right there and having the people come to you. The brethren in Richmond have basically borne the heat of the day, the brunt, over this, over these years. And others have pitched in and helped. We don't make light of it. I'll have to say, I lived in Richmond full time, you know, for 7 years. Was part of the assembly in a full time way for 7 years. But I've been away from Richmond for 16 years. And the brethren in Richmond have carried the weight of it most of the time. Now, this year, there is more participation, I believe, from brethren outside of Richmond than there has been at any time in the past. This is partly because a number of brothers and sisters who have borne responsibilities, who have faithfully taken them out for a long time, are not able to do it this year. We're not available. It's made openings where others were really needed more than had been. Before, you know, we said, well, if you don't have this or this or this, get somebody in Richmond, they'll do it. And we get to the point where there just is not enough. You got to call somewhere else. Now, this is, to those of us from outside of Richmond, this is actually our blessing. And I have to say, I liken it in principle to this scripture that Paul uses about the Jews and the Gentiles. You know, it's by their falling away we were brought in. The Lord will use even things that are not nice, things that you'd want, to turn it around and make it into a blessing. But he also says, concerning the Jews, if their falling away was the salvation of the Gentiles, then what will be their coming back? You know, if not just in a conference, but in anything that the Lord has given us a charge to do, a place to keep, when the Lord gives us something and a burden, it's His intention that we keep it. If the Lord has given us something and we don't faithfully keep it, do you think that the purpose of God will stop because we don't keep it? The answer is no, it won't. The Lord will get someone else to take our place. It shouldn't make us fear. But the good side is, if we faithfully keep what He has given us, He won't take it away. privilege. It's a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord. And if this conference is nothing more than a picture of that, we should see it. Then whatever we're called into, when difficulties arise, do we leave our post? If we will stay faithfully where the Lord puts us, He will make a way for us to do. And for all those brethren in Richmond who again this year are faithfully here, the Lord will renew your soul. The Lord will not take away from you what He's given. I believe that. And I believe that the challenges that have been brought to this conference, the Lord will answer. And I'm looking to the Lord that this year, in this conference, it will not be a fizzle conference, a failure, but we will have the presence of the Lord. The Lord will meet with us. The Lord will speak. We will respond to the Lord. This is for all of us, from the youngest to the oldest. A challenge has gone out to the Lord. Let's stand and see the salvation of our God. I was thinking about this, about how if we don't stand in the place the Lord has given us, He will replace us. And it came to me a thought, what do you call someone who doesn't have to be replaced? Because it's the Lord's intention that we would not have to be replaced. It's called overcoming. Overcoming is not doing some tremendous, spectacular, whatever. Overcoming is not moving out of the place that we were put. If we stay faithfully where the Lord has put us, if we do faithfully what He's called us to, we overcome. The Lord is calling us to continue to overcome. And let us, as we had a spirit of worship for the Lord before this time, go on into this week with this and look to the Lord to meet with us and to answer all the challenges against His name. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we do believe that it is You who have called us here, and You have a purpose for each one individually. You have a purpose, a plan for us all together. And we look unto You that Your presence be known and that new revelation of You be given and be taken, be received, that will further lift up Your people and cause them to be able to go on in this day, and that in so doing it will bring glory and honor to Your name. We ask it in that name of our Lord Jesus Christ.